today.
This is Free Talk Live. It is the Tuesday edition, and we're kicking off hour number one. You can take control of the airwaves. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That is the Packet 8 toll-free line for you. And it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Garg.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site, totally free, so do enjoy those. They're on us at freetalklive.com. We're starting things out here with a story about the number one cash crop in the United States. Gentlemen, what do you think it is?
Well, you know, I might hasten to guess because I know that the number one cash crop in other countries has been marijuana. And I do believe it might be the mighty M.
Yeah, that would be the correct answer.
Interesting.
Weeding through, according to ABC News, weeding through the value of the nation's cash crops, a study released... I love the puns that they use in articles about
puns. I think they're so clever, don't
right?
They?
A study released today states that marijuana is the United States' most valuable crop and promotes the drug's legalization and taxation. Drug enforcement officials say the equation's not that simple. The report, Marijuana Production in the United States, by marijuana policy researcher John Getman, concludes that despite massive eradication efforts at the hands of the federal government, quote, marijuana has become a pervasive and ineradicable part of the national economy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's absolutely right. It's not going anywhere anytime soon, and it doesn't matter how much money the feds throw at it. It doesn't matter how many new cops they hire to go out and bust people. It's not going anywhere because it's illegal and it's popular, and so therefore there's a lot of money to be made. In the report, Getman, a marijuana reform activist and leader of the Coalition for Rescheduling Cannabis, champions a system of legal regulation, contrasting government figures for traditional crops like corn and wheat against the study's projections for marijuana production. The report cites marijuana as the top cash crop in 12 of the 50 states and amongst the top three cash crops in 30 of the 50 states. The study estimates that marijuana production at a value of $35.8 billion exceeds the combined value of corn and wheat to activists. That's just tremendous. To activists for marijuana legalization, the study confirms a position they've held for years and uses government statistics to support their claim. The fact that marijuana is America's number one cash crop after more than three decades of governmental eradication efforts is the clearest illustration that our present marijuana laws are a complete failure, according to Rob Campia, executive director of the Marijuana Policy Project. I mean, it's certainly a clear illustration,
sure.
And it's also alongside of other very clear illustrations that we've seen over the years with statistics coming out year after year that over 750,000, I think it was last year, was 780,000 people, friends and family members,
yeah.
American people, were arrested for mostly marijuana possession.
Not doing any harm to anyone else. Just participating in something that was not approved by the majority, or at least the politicians. And, you know, that's funny that that cash crop is so big, because they don't even have a lobbying group like ADM does in Washington, D.C. for corn.
No, they sure don't.
And they're not even including industrial-grade hemp, which also
good
has
point.
A lot of great true. Uses. Rope, clothing. Even I purchase right at the health food store. I get the hemp seeds from Canada, because you can grow them in Canada, the non-THC, mm-hmm. smokable hemp,
yeah,
and the seeds are extremely nutritious, and I eat them sometimes.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Well, you know, that it's amazing the things that they try to outlaw and ban, and we know that marijuana makes so much money for so many people. I'm surprised the government wouldn't try to dive on top of it and capitalize on it by taxing it and regulating it rather than spending tons and tons of money. And I'm not even in favor of taxing and regulating, but you would think that those pinheads would realize, you know, we're shooting money down a tube. We are religiously holding on to something which we cannot control. It is the war on drugs.
Sure.
Well, originally it was the war on hemp because the timber farmers out west originally had it outlawed through their political connections because it was competition for their wood and their paper.
I didn't know that.
It was the textile industry.
Really?
It was in the 1930s when they did that.
Wow, yes. I didn't know that at all. That's really interesting.
Yeah, right. So that, what they did was they essentially, the textile manufacturer, I think it was, wasn't it DuPont that was involved in it?
Maybe Hearst, Randolph Hearst.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, these big textile manufacturers were threatened by marijuana and hemp, and so what they did was they sort of they attacked its cousin, that is, you know, marijuana, the smokable version,
right,
as Wayne was talking about, and they demonized it, and they bastardized it, and they scared people about it.
And it all got lumped into one thing.
Exactly.
Yes. Wow.
And they got a law passed against it. And here we are today.
They even had a propaganda film called Reefer Madness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's amazing because I know it's a bit tangential, but, you know, the problems we have with immigration all stem from an illegitimate 1875 Supreme Court ruling over the law that was passed in 1872 to stop Asian immigrants from coming in and working for less out in the mines and on the railroads. And that, you see how all these things are due to political pressures from certain interest groups that try to use Congress to get what they want. The force of government stopping other people. Incredible.
Well, now, the Marijuana Policy Project is a group in Washington, D.C. that focuses on removing criminal penalties for marijuana use. But they also are an organization that advocates a regulation scheme instead. And you were saying, Gardner, well, why is it that these bureaucrats haven't really pushed for regulating this and taxing it? And I think that the reason is because the bureaucrats, I guess the bureaucrats, I don't know, would it be the alcohol regulators that would sort of pick up the ball on this one? Maybe it's just
the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, probably.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just that they aren't motivated because they don't really feel like their budgets would increase that much. I'm not sure. But really what you're fighting against, even if there are bureaucrats,
the budget for law enforcement.
Exactly.
It's the law enforcement lobby. That's it.
You're going to be pitting two different bureaucracies against one another, and we all know how much government bureaucrats in different offices don't get along.
Yeah.
They don't like one another, which is a good thing for us. It's a good thing for us in the Liberty Movement because they have little tissy fights between
them. But when they work together, it's very hard to stop them. Say, especially when you have politicians working with law enforcement people, the politicians can get the approval of the law enforcement people, and that looks good in the eyes of the voters. The law enforcement people can get special favors from the politicians, so keep those laws enacted
so
we can keep going out there and making all our extra cash on the drug bust.
Plus, you've got the DEA, which, I mean, is an organization specifically devoted to the war on drugs, and they'd be all out of jobs. They don't have to get other jobs if the war on drugs was ended.
Right on.
And the scary part is the militarization of the police now. They're getting more and more federal training.
Yeah.
And eventually you can see this leading towards the elimination of local police forces and going eventually with a national police force. I think that law enforcement may be not in favor of hemp and marijuana legalization also because there's a lot of incentives for them to bust people and confiscate their property and their cash and all that stuff, too.
Right. And, you know, it's fascinating, just the prestige. Like, you talk about going from a local to a national police drug agency enforcement. We had this bust out on the seacoast on OxyContin back in late October. They got 12 pounds of OxyContin here in New Hampshire.
Meth, methamphetamine.
And they got 12 pounds of it. And they were working, federal authorities were working with local authorities. It adds to the prestige of all these guys. They can say, oh, yeah, you know, we made this big bust. Just the term federal bust seems to have so much weight to it.
Sure, and so they get the prestige, they get the big budgets, they get the asset forfeiture, which is huge money for them, because all they have to do with asset forfeiture is say, Gardner, we think you're a drug dealer. Give me your car and your house, and thanks. Yeah. And that's it. If you want to get your car and your house back, then you have to go to court and prove that, no, you're not a drug dealer, and no, your car and house were not involved in drug transactions. You have to prove to them that you're innocent.
Yeah.
To get your stuff back. And, of course, I don't know about you, Gardner, but I can't really afford to hire a lawyer just right off the bat to go after my stuff. So, I mean, you're talking about incurring extra costs just so you can have a chance at getting them to give you your stuff back.
And sometimes they don't even bring the case to trial, and they still don't give you all your stuff back. It happens all the time. So many municipalities that
have. They don't even have to charge you with a crime. I think it was you that were mentioning it before, either you or Wayne yesterday, that they actually charge the object with the crime. They'll charge, for instance, if you get pulled over and let's say you've got your life savings, you pulled it out of the bank and you're taking it across town to another bank or driving across the country with it or something like that. You've got $30,000 in your trunk in a lockbox. Well, they bust open the lockbox, they find $30,000 in cash, they take it. No charges against you because they didn't find any drugs, but they charge the cash with the crime.
Being associated to your drug profits.
But the cash really isn't your property, per se, because they're just notes, and they don't really belong to you.
Okay.
And of course, that's the way they look at it, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they do. They charge the cash, and of course, the cash can't hire a lawyer, so the cash just gets railroaded and convicted, and then they keep the cash. You're laughing, but that's exactly what goes on in this crazy war on drugs that we have. 800-259-9231. So a little bit more about marijuana, the number one cash crop in the United States. Plus, some police officers are on our side on this one, and they realize that we're going to really cut crime down if we legalize drugs. We'll tell you about it coming up.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Ted Anderson from Midas. December 19, 2006, gold, 6-16-20. Ounce gold coins are at 636.68, 320.89 for half, 160.45 for quarter ounce. That's 636.68, 320.89, and 160.45. 1971, Nixon closes the gold window. Fiat currency. 1920s, the German mark explodes from 75 to 23 trillion. 1995, gold doubles against the Mexican peso. 1997, gold increases 82% over the Indonesian rupee. 1998, gold jumps two-thirds over the Russian ruble. 2002, the Argentine peso loses a fifth of its value to gold. 2006, the last superpower, the USA's mighty dollar, loses over half to gold and other raw goods. Could government let this happen? Without immediate backing, how much will it lose? Midas has Nick Bereshef's report covering the loss of purchasing power, fat tail events, bull market economic vulnerabilities, and gold-oil relationship. You've lost half of your purchasing power. Call 800-686-2237 before the rest disappears. That's 800-686-2237.
The statistics are heart-wrenching. According to the CWC, of the 43 million people who have served in the major wars, from the Revolutionary War to the Gulf War, 3 million never made it home alive. Most likely, each one of us can say we either knew someone who served or know a brave soul who is currently serving our country. Now there is a unique way to pay tribute to the courageous men and women who spend their lives protecting our freedom and to those who have lost their lives doing so. Davis Products is offering high-quality, solid-cast aluminum memorial markers for your American flag. Each memorial marker is specifically designed to represent one of 15 wars. All markers include a 3/8-inch pointed and threaded aluminum rod, painted and highlighted for an appearance that is unforgettable. What better way to pay homage to our enlisted loved ones? Davis Products memorial markers are only $9 a piece and can be ordered by calling 814-827-4946. That's 814-827-4946. Or visit davis-products.com. That's davis-products.com.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You take control of the airwaves toll-free 800-259-9231. That is 1-800-259-9231, and it is the Packet 8 toll-free line. Mark is out for the night. still down in Florida. Actually, he should be getting on a plane as we speak, so hopefully he'll be back in action with us as of tomorrow night. But tonight, it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Garden.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We've got the bulletin board system there with over 140,000 posts, over 1,300 people interacting. Lots of fun stuff to discuss and serious issues as well. You'll find it all for free at bbs.freetalklive.com. That is bbs.freetalklive.com. And get registered now for the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, February 23rd through the 25th, meet libertarian superstars like John Stossel, Michael Badnarik, and many more. The most influential libertarians in America will be there. FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum for more information and to get registered. FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum. Talking about the Marijuana Policy Project getting some national coverage for their for a report that one of their people, I guess, put out, essentially looking at government figures and for traditional crops like corn and wheat, and then comparing those versus estimates for the production of marijuana in the United States, and finding out that not only is marijuana the number one cash crop in the entire United States, but it's also bigger than wheat and corn combined. That's $23.3 billion for corn and $7.5 billion for wheat, compared to $35.8 billion for the marijuana production industry.
Far out,
I mean, it's
man.
Just tremendous amount of money involved there.
One wonders how that would be affected if it were legal.
Would it drop?
Yeah, and of course, looking at that, what is the profit margin? And it's so difficult to calculate any of those things. It's amazing that those companies that can operate above board, so-called, they can handle everything, no problem. All the other people shipping stuff around, if you're shipping that in big quantities, you're incurring some danger.
Oh, yeah,
you know, and it's a risky venture. And we ought to mention that while we were off the air, we were talking about it, how oftentimes libertarians are seen as, oh, they're those radicals who are out there. They just want to be able to smoke pot and so on. They want all these things legalized that are stupid and reckless or whatever. And ours is based on a principle of allowing our neighbor the maximum freedom to do what he wants, whether it be smoking pot or eating a fatty food, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't care what you want to put in your body. It's your body. It's your business. Do you own you or don't you?
But just don't ask me to pay for your medical bills.
Precisely.
Yeah, yeah, and that's one of the problems. You know, you look at that situation down in New York, banning of trans fats. They have the same thing going on in Massachusetts. And that's the way they sucker you in. They apply a layer of socialism by saying, well, we're going to regulate insurance companies to force them to have to accept people with pre-existing conditions or pay for this type of a procedure or do this, or do that, or have rates that don't go above this because it's not fair. And we, the government, can tell people how to run their business in this case because, of course, health care is a right. And then they get us all under this wet blanket of socialism, and then they pile more rocks on top of it saying, well, since we all pay, therefore we can regulate. You can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't eat this trans
fat. You have to exercise.
You've got to exercise. In England, they're going to be they're proposing stapling the stomachs of kids because they want to stop them from being obese.
That's crazy.
It's insane. There's a guy in Scotland who has proposed that they put tags on clothing for plus-size clothing.
And it's all because of this socialist mentality.
Exactly.
And you know what happens?
Yeah.
You know what happens when you pile a bunch of rocks on a bunch of people? They can't breathe.
That's a great way to look at it. That's a really good way to look at it.
You know, personally, I don't I avoid trans fats.
Yeah.
But if you want to eat them, that's your business.
Right.
None of my business. I don't smoke marijuana, but I respect one's right to smoke it if they're not hurting me.
Absolutely. You know, it's amazing to think about it, too, you guys, because when you think about allowing somebody in maximum freedom, and then you think about someone else who does not want to do that because they're afraid that someone cannot take care of himself or herself, and therefore society shows that it cares by imposing regulations on everybody else to make
for
them involved. Exactly. When you look at that, you say to yourself, okay, well, if you think I'm being reckless by giving my kids some French fries, if you think I'm being reckless by allowing my child to drink some wine or have a burger or something like that, and you want to have control, then how much control are you going to take? And does that mean that I have no responsibility over my kids? Which is, I think, part of the problem we've seen with so many families. People complain about welfare and so on. If we are our brother's keeper legally, does that mean that we should enjoy being kept? Stupid. It's ridiculous.
Where does it stop, too?
Exactly.
I mean, if you're going to allow them to have control, at what point At what point does it come to an end? It won't.
Yeah.
They'll continue piling on more rocks. They'll continue piling on more regulations until every last breath of freedom that you ever took is completely beaten out of you.
Yeah.
And all you are, all that remains is a serf and a slave.
Ian, that information you got, that was that an ABC story you got about the marijuana being a cash crop?
Yeah, ABC, ABCnews.com.
And they were citing the marijuana policy project.
In fact, Rob Campia, the executive director there, whose comments were included in the study's press release, adds, quote, "Our nation's laws guarantee that 100% of the proceeds from marijuana sales go to unregulated criminals rather than to legitimate businesses that pay taxes to support the government infrastructure." Mm-hmm. A 2005 analysis by Harvard visiting professor so-and-so estimated that if the United States legalized marijuana, the country would save $7.7 billion in law enforcement costs and would generate as much as, could generate as much as $6.2 billion annually if marijuana were taxed like alcohol or tobacco is. So $7.7 billion saved from law enforcement. If we tax it, then we, the government pulls in $6.2 billion. Now, again, we're not advocates for taxing and regulating marijuana. I think that we should just end the prohibition and allow businesses and individuals to pick up the ball and run with it. The distribution would completely change. It would shift from being a black market to a legitimate market, and you'd see it popping up in convenience stores and other places like that, and hemp shops and that sort of thing. And what's wrong with that? What is so wrong with
it? You would think that the federal regulators would have learned their lesson with prohibition in the 20th century. And, you know, in addition to that, not only is there the lesson of freedom, there's the lesson of constitutionalism here, which I think that... it's important to note, although it might not go as far as I would like to have it in an abstract sense, the Constitution doesn't give the federal government the power to regulate whether or not you can buy or not buy or sell or imbibe marijuana. It's ridiculous.
Well, the Constitution doesn't give them the power to do virtually everything
exactly.
that they do, but they do it anyways because they've got the guns and they aren't afraid to use them. That's what gives them the power and our consent.
At least when they went forward with prohibition, these people had the honesty. If they were going to do something stupid, at least they did it constitutionally.
By creating the amendment.
The Constitution, and then they revoked the amendment.
And apparently
these guys wants to do that.
And you're right. They didn't learn their lesson from prohibition because you would think that, I don't think, first of all, the regulators didn't learn their lesson. And apparently the people fell asleep at the wheel because when prohibition ended, the prohibition of alcohol, that is, it ended for at least in one reason, because juries continued to nullify the charges. So their friends and their family members, the local guy running the speakeasy, would get picked up, charged with alcohol-related crimes. They'd take him to court where the jury would say, forget this. We want to drink, too. We're throwing this out.
Yeah.
And so they kept throwing out case after case, and eventually the government just threw up their hands and said, all right, fine, we'll make it legal again. But no, apparently nobody walked away from that whole experience actually learning anything at all about prohibition, because sometimes we'll talk about it, and we talk about it often enough on this show, and we'll get some prohibitionist on the phone, and it's like talking to a brick wall. It's like they just don't understand the parallels, the direct, very clear parallels between what happened in the 1920s and what's going on right now. More's on the way. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
I found this company online, and they have this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Talk Live, it's your show. You take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number for you, 800-259-9231. That is the Packet 8 toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We've got the Shrine of Female Listeners with dozens of ladies from around the world who have sent us their validated photo to prove that they listen to the show. See what I mean by going to shrine.freetalklive.com. That is shrine.freetalklive.com. And does your company have a bunch of unpaid receivables just sitting out there? Try SACL CAI. They do collections in a whole new way. SACL knows that the way they treat your customer reflects on you. They record every customer interaction so you can check their work. Let SACL CAI handle any or all of your accounts receivable needs. See their banner at freetalklive.com or call 1-800-544-6359. Do business with businesses that support Free Talk Live. And our number is 800-259-9231, talking about one of my pet issues, the war on drugs. And the reason is because there's been a study done that's come out that is essentially outing marijuana as the number one cash crop in the entire United States. Now, I had heard that it was number one in Kentucky and number one in, you know, specific states, but actually it's overall bigger than wheat and corn combined. It's just tremendous, over $35 billion. Actually, I think it was $35.8 billion. Now, the Marijuana Policy Project saying that, look, why don't we just make this drug legal and maybe tax it? Now, of course, I don't go to that extreme because it seems to me like asking for marijuana to be legalized and then creating a whole other bureaucracy to regulate and tax it is just like transferring government power from one agency to another.
Yeah.
But let's just cut the size of government, okay? Marijuana, if you've got a local sales tax in the state that you're in, well, then you're going to make money off of it, right? Like like down in Florida, there's a 6% sales tax and or 5%, I think, state sales tax, and so there's going to be money coming in off of it that way. We don't need extra taxes laden on to it.
No, and you know what's interesting, Ian? the immediate thing that I think of as you're mentioning that study is that the detractors are going to say, well, look where it comes from. It comes from a pro-legalization organization. Obviously, you know, they're going to attack the messenger, not the message. They're not going to look at the details and see how the thing was set up, see where the study came from, where the numbers came from, or anything like that. And they're certainly not going to question the validity of laws that stop individuals from taking something burning and putting it in their lungs.
Right. They definitely dodged that. In fact, I've actually got the response from the law enforcers
here. Oh, beautiful.
So here's what they have to say from the ABC News article. Aside from the health debate over legalizing marijuana, Garrison Courtney, spokesperson for the Drug Enforcement Agency, says groups that advocate its taxation sometimes paint too rosy a picture. He says, quote, "It's still a drug. Just because it's a good cash crop doesn't mean you should legalize and tax it." Really? Well, why not? He doesn't give you any reasons for that. He's just saying, it's a drug. Well, there's lots of drugs. Go to Walmart. Look in the pharmacy section. There's drugs all over the shelves, you know, there, and they can all be abused.
I think I saw that article later. Doesn't he say, fire bad? He does do that, doesn't he?
Smells like FUD to me.
It's still a drug, he says. It's not these cute mom-and-pop bong shops anymore. It's violent drug trafficking groups that are doing all these grows. Wait, the last time I checked, the head shops weren't actually growing marijuana in the back. I don't even know what he's talking about.
Even if they are violent groups, why would they be violent groups? I didn't see that, Pharmaca and Johnson & Johnson were forming gangs and having slasher fights and shootouts on the streets of South Central.
What about Budweiser?
Yeah. Budweiser.
The tobacco
companies.
R.J. Reynolds.
Absolutely. They're not fighting each other and trying to kill each other. They're trying to compete for the customer.
Local marijuana growers, he says, are the tentacles of the international drug trafficking organizations that bring weapons, violence, and a slew of other drugs into the market. He says, you can't tax Mexican drug trafficking groups. That's the side a lot of people don't focus on. Is this guy as dumb as he appears to be?
What's his last name? Is it
Courtney?
Courtney.
Gingrich.
What is he talking? These people live in a world I just don't understand.
No.
We're talking about legalization, we're talking about taking it out of the hands of the violent people. We're talking about taking it out of the hands of the drug traffickers. If you legalize or decriminalize marijuana, then the profit margin, which is something like 3,000%, the profit margin disappears.
Yeah.
I mean, go to your local tobacco shop and look at the... You can look at a price of a pack of cigarettes, and that's cheap enough in comparison to marijuana. But just look at the unrolled tobacco, like the bag of tobacco that you can buy. I went in there one time just to see what those things cost. You could get like a pound of tobacco for $12. I mean, you can roll enough cigarettes to smoke for 6 months on that amount of tobacco. Yeah. And a pound of marijuana is going to run you anywhere from $1,200 to, $5,000 for the really good, good.
You know, guys, I read a paper a while back about the timber industry in this country, there's some very, very wealthy people who own timber farms, mm-hmm. and these timber farms are massively profitable, especially during this recent real estate boom.
Yeah.
And they've got trees now where they can pretty much turn them over in 20 years. It used to be 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But they own massive tracts of land, and the amount of profit you can make from the timber is amazing. And if you legalize marijuana to smoke, you also have to legalize hemp.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's a major competitor to timber.
Yeah, why don't you tell, you were telling us a little bit about that, about the history of the prohibition of hemp. I was unaware of that, and I'm fascinated by this, by Hearst, the newspapers that he owned, all the wood areas that he had, and how he was in favor of getting rid of industrial hemp. Because it competed.
Yes, and there was also a propaganda film back there called Reefer Madness.
Right. That was more than one. That was just the most well-known.
That was the well-known one, but there were others. And they were propaganda films. It'd be really interesting to see who paid for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever someone cites a study on anything, the first question I always ask is, who's funded the study?
Great question.
Because that's where you have to follow the money there and read a bunch of studies and just try to figure out the truth by who funded it.
You know, there's a great, you ask about more details on the history of the war on drugs.
Right.
And I actually stumbled across something, it was probably about 2 or 3 years ago, and I'm sure it's still out there. It was called A Drug War Christmas Carol. And there's a website that is dedicated to it. It's available free online, or you can order it in, like, comic book form. Mm-hmm. It's essentially a web comic book. Mm-hmm. And what it is it's a, you know, a graphical comic-style retelling of the history of the war on drugs. Not just marijuana. It certainly hits heavy on marijuana, but the entire war on drugs.
Wow.
And it goes back all the way to, you know, before 1910, when you could, for instance, send your 12-year-old down to the general store to buy a bottle full of heroin for yourself.
You
if
get
you
morphine,
to.
No problem.
Right.
Cocaine, Coca-Cola.
Well, and the store owner wouldn't even bat an eye at a 10-year-old coming in to buy a bottle full of cocaine. Wouldn't have been a big deal back then.
But nowadays, I think we also have to ask ourselves, why do people want to do crystal meth? Why do they want to do heroin or cocaine? I wouldn't want to do those things.
Yeah.
However, as we become more of a socialist country, we're becoming more dehumanized and more disempowered by that system of government and our, all the societal pressures that go with it.
Mm. Yeah,
that's on the website.
Point. And also, I think in addition to that, in a society that basically allows you to goof off and loaf around, hey, why not take more of your time and waste more of your time at making your mind a little screwed up and distracting yourself?
In a socialistic system, it requires an intricate balance of the producers, the looters, and the loafers.
Yeah.
And in a free market society, those things take care of themselves.
Right.
In a socialistic system, they have to constantly monitor and manage that and micromanage it, and they can never really get it right because the market is a better barometer and a better regulator.
They can't even come close to getting it right.
Right.
In fact, it's on the website. It's adrugwarcarol.com. That's adrugwarcarol.com. Great little comic book, because what they do is they take the drug czar, the United States drug czar, and it's set up like a Christmas carol where you've got the ghost of the drug war past and the drug war present and the drug war future, and they all come to him in the nighttime, and they take him back and they show him the history, because he doesn't know. These fools that are running the government today, this idiot that's saying that, well, you can't tax a Mexican drug trafficking group. how much do you think this guy knows about prohibition? How much does he know about history? I mean, he doesn't even understand what legalization is about. He doesn't even get the point of what we're talking about.
However, there's a lot of people who read that article that would believe him because they don't know either.
Exactly.
Because he's an authority figure, a perceived authority figure, and the herd tends to take what they say or they imply as fact.
You're right about
investigation.
That. But on the other hand, people also do listen to people with microphones fairly well, so we can combat authority figures like him.
You got it, because we're authority figures, too.
You take control of the airwaves. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
If you say so.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die, with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasermedinc.com. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
When you're looking to build a new facility, there's a lot riding on your shoulders. You have to get a structure that meets your needs. You need one that's built to last. You need to get it built quickly. And most importantly, you need it to stay within budget. What you need is a pre-engineered steel building from Anthem Steel. You won't believe how much you'll save in both time and money with a brand new built-to-last steel building. For free information on how you can get the building you need with less time and money, call 1-800-771-1934. You can even customize your building. You select the size, you select the style. You can even choose to add the look of brick, stucco, or stone. Building a new facility is a big responsibility. Make it easier by calling Anthem Steel. Achieve your goals faster and with less strain on your budget. For free information, call Anthem Steel at 1-800-771-1934. Call Anthem Steel today, 1-800-771-1934. That's 1-800-771-1934.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You take control of the airwaves. Toll-free 800-259-9231. The Packet 8 toll-free line. That's 1-800-259-9231. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Enjoy all the features on the site. They are completely free. Though we do ask that you voluntarily support the show by buying some stuff at Amazon. Amazon, you know them. They're the world's largest internet retailer. 35 categories of products. Everything from their book selection, which of course what they became known for, to DVDs, office products, sporting goods, electronics, you name it, they probably sell it at amazon.freetalklive.com. Now, the reason I'm giving you that address to go to is because if you enter their site through amazon.freetalklive.com, then Free Talk Live gets a percentage of virtually anything that you buy, whether it be a new item, used item, gift certificate, which is a great idea. And, of course, I mean, we're looking at, what, 6 days now until Christmas? Mm. Obviously, a lot of people, the biggest shopping day of the year is coming up this weekend, the Saturday before Christmas, always the busiest shopping day of the year. But stay home. Forget about all that bustling around and traffic jams and crammed parking lots and upset people in the stores. Why bother with all that? Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done. Now, it's too late at this point to get free Super Saver shipping by Christmas. Of course, you can still get expedited shipping as well, which obviously is not going to be free. Or you can get an Amazon gift certificate. Now, you can get the Amazon gift card either physically in the mail, or you can just send them an email version of it as well. And that's all there at amazon.freetalklive.com. We're talking about the war on drugs. It is Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Gard.
And we've pointed out that marijuana is the number one cash crop in the United States, that legalizing drugs is the obvious solution to all of the myriad of problems that the war on drugs creates. In fact, we barely even touched on the problems that arise from the war on drugs. But, of course, violence is one of the key issues, because when drugs are illegal, the prices skyrocket because, well, if you're going to deal drugs, you're taking a serious risk. I mean, you're risking your butt. You're risking whatever semi-freedom you enjoy, because they're going to take you and throw you in a jail cell if they catch you dealing drugs. So as a result of that risk, the price goes up equivalently. So it's an incredible risk. I mean, people spending decades in prison for selling a few joints, they're going to raise their prices quite a bit and therefore make a lot of money.
And, you know, if you think about the absurdity of that, and you can't quite get it, just think about the absurdity of applying that sort of philosophy, that sort of attitude towards the selling of trans fats.
Mm.
And maybe we can get a few people who don't think it's absurd to try to ban the sale of marijuana to recognize, oh, yeah, ingesting something that's only dangerous to yourself, if that, maybe we shouldn't get the government involved with it.
There's plenty of information out there about the unhealthfulness of trans fats.
Yeah.
Many of the fast food restaurants have stopped using them in their French fries and their food preparation. I don't think we need the government dealing in that at all. It's none of their business. Let the market take care of it.
If consumers are demanding it, that's what they'll get.
And that's what's happened.
And you look at marijuana. For so long, marijuana was painted with this broad brush as being the most evil weed, the devil's weed. And then it turns out, you know, people who are really sick with nausea when they're getting treated for cancer, it helps them out. You know, my mother's first husband, he was dying of cancer. He was living out in California. He had been very, very famous in the hippie days.
Mm-hmm.
He was growing his own pot on his own land, on his ranch out in California. 70-something-year-old guy. Just wants to smoke his pot. Seized his home.
Oh,
going to take his whole house. The guy's dying of cancer. He's going to die. I mean, they're going to get enough of it in the first place when he dies with the stinking estate tax. Can't they just wait and then get a lot of it? They took it first.
It's amazing. I've met a number of people who, just on a personal basis, had told me, confided in me, that they smoke marijuana for medicinal purposes. And they have no reason to lie about it to me. I mean, I'm not the government. They don't have to lie to me that if they were getting high, they would tell me that they were smoking it to get high. But we're talking about people with multiple sclerosis. We're talking about people with glaucoma. You say cancer also.
Sure.
I mean, a variety. I mean, I've been surprised in some cases at people with chronic pain. I've been really shocked at some of the ways that marijuana helps people who are sick that I wasn't even aware of. You always hear about glaucoma and MS, but there's other ones out there. There's people with other conditions that are really helped out. And luckily, not all cops are on the side of prohibition. In fact, from the Advocates for Self-Government at theadvocates.org, Howard Roberts, this from their excellent Liberator Online newsletter, Howard Roberts is Deputy Chief Constable of Nottinghamshire and one of Britain's most senior police officers. Recently, he cited studies indicating that up to 60% of all British crime is drug-related. That is, either caused by addicts stealing to pay exorbitant black market prices for their drugs, or by drug sellers battling to dominate the illegal market in drugs. Now, these aren't problems caused by the drugs. They're problems caused by drug prohibition. The average British addict commits an estimated 432 crimes per year. Wow, that's more than one per day. That's crazy. Robberies, burglaries, and assaults to get money to pay for his drugs. Roberts recently told an Association of Chief Police Officers conference that obtaining drugs on the black market costs an addict about £15,000, which translates to over $30,000 per year. Oh my gosh, $30,000 per year. What's the average person in the United States make? I mean, it's below $30,000, isn't it? Or at least
I don't know. I don't know what the average. I mean, that would definitely put you in the poverty line.
Yeah, it doesn't leave you a lot of room to pay the rent.
It depends how many people you got in your family, but yeah, that's unbelievable.
In order to raise that amount, the addict must steal about $90,000 worth of property, because obviously the fences, the people that you sell your stolen property to, aren't going to give you full value for it. So Robert says, quote, "There's an undeniable link between addicted offenders and appalling levels of criminality, as heroin and crack cocaine addicts commit crime from burglary to robbery to sometimes even murder to get the money to buy drugs to satisfy their addiction. The resulting misery to society is huge. Further, the British drug war has utterly failed." And this is the same way over here. This happens to be from Britain. "It's utterly failed to stop the use and sale of drugs. Britain has the highest heroin use rate in Europe." Writing in the London Sunday Times, columnist Simon Jenkins wrote, quote, "A young American friend last week visited Camden Lock, North London, and returned amazed. In 100 yards, he was offered brazenly in the street just about every drug he could imagine. It was easier to buy cannabis or cocaine than it was a cigarette or a can of beer. The experience could have been repeated in any city center in Britain. The drug market is totally unregulated and, as a result, totally dangerous. No wonder, then, that British government is experimenting again with its 1960s policy of prescribing heroin to hardcore addicts. Supporters justify the experiment on pragmatic grounds. It is cheaper and safer to give these addicts their drugs rather than have them commit hundreds of crimes per year to purchase them. Further, with access to their drugs no longer a problem, many addicts can leave the criminal underworld and live normal and productive lives." Now, even though that sounds like it might be a little bit better than the prohibition situation, it's still not appropriate. It's still the government.
It's illustrative, however, and that is beneficial, at least to get that information.
True, but I mean, practically, it's the government stealing everybody's money so they can all... I mean, you're still having your money taken from you.
And now you've got true addicts of the state.
Right, exactly. It's just the government that's taking the money instead of the addicts holding you up at gunpoint.
Right.
Recently in Britain, the International Organization Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, we like those guys, leap.cc is their website, composed of present and former police chiefs, testified for the urgent need for drug reform. American Jack Cole, who's going to be speaking this February at the Liberty Forum, we'll tell you about that coming up, told his British audience that when U.S. alcohol prohibition was ended in 1933, quote, "We put Al Capone out of business overnight, and we can do the same to drug lords and terrorists who make over $500 billion a year selling illegal drugs around the world." And when you hear that from a law enforcement officer like Jack Cole, even if you're the most ardent drug warrior, if you're the most ardent, staunch, conservative drug warrior person, hearing something like that from a police officer must be quite a shocker to the system, don't you think?
It's just amazing.
Those guys are great. In his Sunday London Times article, Mr. Jenkins also made another point too often overlooked by drug reformers, individual liberty and responsibility. Quote, "Most drug users can handle the harm undoubtedly the drug use does them personally. To this extent, there's no justification for the state interfering in a private activity. As with the control of alcohol, the regulation of outlets should only be required to protect minors, prevent adulteration, and collect taxes. Other European countries are moving in this direction, at least with ecstasy, cannabis, and heroin." So, yes, a legal market wherein there is taxation going on is far preferable to the black market that we currently have, the black market that puts everyone in danger. Even if they, whether or not you use drugs, whether or not you're even close to the drug culture, you're in danger from it because of these addicts going around breaking into people's homes, breaking into people's cars, and stealing things and possibly hurting people in order to get their fix.
So true. So true. And it's too bad people can't wake up and recognize that.
Well,
we're going to have to just keep talking about it.
Well, thankfully, some people apparently are talking about it. I mean, the Sunday London Times is talking about it. That's a fairly
terrific.
Big publication over there.
Yeah.
Free Talk Live's talking about it. John Stossel, talking about it. Jack Cole. And I think that as we continue to get this issue into the mainstream, as we continue to have a dialogue about it, of course, you can never get a drug warrior on to debate you on it. They won't do it and won't show up. But as we continue talking about it, more people will come on board, and eventually, hopefully in our lifetimes, we'll see some sensible drug policy in this world of ours. More on the way. Hour 2 is coming up. Real ID. Could it be repealed? We'll find out on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes, but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month, and you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Looking for profits? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin, with a total series mintage under $600,000, has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you...